Now, let me put my cards on the table. I believe that the 9/11 atrocity was an act of mass murder, and I believe that it was carried out by Islamist fundamentalists acting out of the mindset generated from the Tora Bora by Osama bin Laden, the obscurantist medieval savage that I described in Parliament just 4 days after 9/11. I did make the point that I had always been against Osama bin Laden, unlike the British government at the time that was giving him guns and money. So, that has not changed. I still believe that this atrocity was carried out by Islamist extremists coming out of the swamp of hatred that exists in the Muslim world for the injustice and the double standards of the governments of the West. And I haven't changed that view, but there's a man coming up who's put questions in my mind about 9/11 that weren't there before. And when you've heard him, you'll put the questions in your mind too. He's up after this.
George Galloway, the mother of all talk shows on Talk Sport.
Now, Tom Keeley is a newspaper man. He's a radio man. He is a television man. He works out of New York City, and he's joined us, I'm glad to say, over the air, over the Atlantic, here on the mother of all talk shows. Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much, George, for having me.
You're welcome. Now, I was explaining to the listeners, Tom, that I have always rejected the conspiracy theories around 9/11. I reject most of them still. But you placed the germ of doubt in my mind. You were the only person in a conversation sitting on a stoop with a cup of coffee in a New York afternoon who ever placed any doubts in my mind about this question. Would you summarize for the audience, which I can assure you is waiting with bated breath, because I've got a lot of conspiracy theory listeners, summarize what your doubts are around the official story about this operation on 9/11?
Well, I'd be happy to, George, and thank you for allowing me to make this presentation. First of all, I was listening just before the break, George, and you were talking about the who part of what happened on 9/11, the hijackers, okay? But before we discuss the who, we need to thoroughly understand the what. What, in fact, happened, okay? And I focus on the Twin Towers and their collapse. Building 7, which was about a football field away from there, which also collapsed without having been struck by any of the aircraft, and then also what happened at the Pentagon. So I'm focusing on that part of the what, and I'm afraid that that part of the what is very poorly understood if you apply, if you take the emotion out of the situation and you apply science and you apply logic to it. And after you have an understanding of the what happened, which I think we still need much more thorough investigation, then you can begin to get a better picture of all of the various who that were involved. Now, you single out the hijackers, and I'm sure that they were involved. But to the extent that they were involved or were they acting alone, I'm not sure. Now, having said that, I'd like to also say that since there was more than one person involved, by definition, it was a conspiracy, okay? And since no one's ever been brought to justice, since there's never been a real thorough accounting of the conspirators and what they've done, even the official story, therefore, is a conspiracy theory.
I take that point.
Okay, so but in and of itself, we must be talking in this sense of theorizing about the conspiracy. But again, let's talk about the what before we talk about the who. Never in history have steel frame buildings collapsed from a fire. It's just never happened before. And yet, on that fateful day, and I can tell your listeners I was there, I worked about 6 blocks south of the World Trade Center. I was out on the street when the first tower collapsed. I was only about 3 blocks south of it. I was walking there to be directly under it to take photographs, and I was engulfed by the debris that came flying down the street. I could not make it inside in time. I didn't know if I was going to live or die for a few moments. So this is a bit personal as well in that sense. But in any case, these buildings, never before have buildings like that just utterly collapsed from fire, as we're given the explanation. In fact, the World Trade Center towers were designed to withstand multiple 747 strikes, the aircraft at the time, which was the typical large commercial airliner. The designers of the building made it to withstand those strikes. So how is it then that these things come down so efficiently, so quickly? Well, that's a difficult question to ascertain because we have very shady science on the subject when it comes to Building 7, which, you know, you'll be surprised if you ask. There are still many people who don't realize three buildings collapsed that day in New York City. The two that were struck by the aircraft and then this Building 7, which was about, like I say, a football field away. You know, how is it that something that's never happened before in history happened three times in one day and hasn't ever happened since? There's many questions that flow from that. One of them, for instance, it's going on 8 years now. To my knowledge, the building codes haven't changed.
The building codes in the United States haven't changed, even though these three buildings collapsed under the present standards.
George, even though we've been shown, if we believe the official version, that everything we've known about engineering and steel frame construction is wrong, hundreds of years worth of knowledge that's been built up in Western civilization, that our engineers don't know what they're talking about when they design something to withstand something like this, when a simple office fire in Building 7 can make a 43-story building collapse, okay, one would think that would be man-bites-dog news, and we would say, oh, my goodness, we must go back to the drawing board and reevaluate. Well, not only have we not done that, in a small instance, the National Institute for Science and Technology, NIST, who is responsible in this country for coming up with the explanation on how these buildings came down, made some recommendations on how to improve construction. I don't think they were very major. They made some recommendations, and yet another branch of our government shot them down and said, no, they're not necessary. So here we're being told that everything we've known about construction is wrong, that steel frame buildings, which have been known to withstand, been engulfed in flames for 24 hours in some cases and never fell down, in one day, three of them come down. Well, these kinds of issues...
Hold it for a minute, Tom. There's a lot more, I know, to discuss, a lot more to your theories than this. But the wisest cabbie in Christendom is a man called Fred, and he's a regular caller to this show.
Okay.
And he wants to put one or two things to you, if you wouldn't mind. Go ahead, Fred. Fred, are you there? Go ahead. Ask Tom anything you like.
Right, the first question I've got to put to you is they were not steel frame buildings.
Pardon me?
Neither of the Twin Towers are steel frame buildings. They were built around the central core, but they're basically curtain buildings, which is completely different from a steel frame building. Now,
They were built with steel, and there was
not,
an exoskeleton and an interior set of 40.
They are not steel frame. A steel frame building is something like the Empire State Building, and if one of those jets had crashed into that, it would have stood up. They were not steel framed, and they were never built to withstand a jumbo jet or any other jet with 50 tons of aviation fuel hitting them at something like 300 to 400 miles an hour. I don't know if you've any idea of the sort of energy that's released at that level. But let me ask you this. Are you one of these that believes that there are explosives placed in there?
Well, I respect that you're a cabbie, and I've been a cabbie in New York City myself, and I think it's a great occupation, and I get to meet a lot of people, and I get to talk with a lot of people. But there's a group in this country called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, okay? And they are very upset that their profession is being made to look like a bunch of fools, like they don't know what they're doing. And there's over 600
Fred,
of them now.
Answer,
there's almost 700 that are saying that buildings that have stood that long can't just collapse, especially from a fire, as Building 7, we're told, collapsed from. Now, you will acknowledge that Building 7 is a steel frame building?
I don't know about Building 7. I can tell you that the Twin Towers are not steel frame buildings. Are you aware of what temperature high tensile steel melts at?
I think that it begins to get damaged, maybe warps at around 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Actually, it starts to weaken at 500 degrees, and it melts at 1,500 degrees. The temperature inside those buildings was far in excess of what they were designed to withstand. But let me ask you this.
Let me respond to what you just said, okay? As I understand it, to achieve temperatures like that, you need a blast furnace. These were carbon-based fires, right? Steel wicks heat away from the source, so it has to be very hot. But in any case, even if it did weaken some of the steel, how does the building then fall down at basically free fall speed? How does this happen?
Well, for the very same reason,
the cold steel beneath has been holding this building up, the top of this building up, for decades. Why all of a sudden, because there's some melted or fire damage at the very top, 80 floors suddenly disappear?
I'll explain that to you. They didn't just literally disappear. It's called a compound fracture, and it's a compound load. When the upper four or five stories start to collapse, the weight increases on each floor as it goes down. And if you look at it like a pack of cards, it's exactly what happened. Of course, the 700 architects that are arguing against it have also designed buildings of a similar structure. And they
let me respond, please, to what you just said.
Well, before you do, Tom, both of you are going to have to hold your fire for a moment so I can take some capitalist messages. Well, let's go back to the fight in Madison Square Gardens between Fred, the wisest cabbie in Christendom, and Tom Kiley, the radio newsman from New York City. Now, Tom, you had the microphone. It's your response.
I was responding.
Yes.
Even if you think that because the top broke, the top 10 floors or the top 20 floors or what have you broke, and then fell down straight through all that cold steel that had been holding those same floors up for decades, okay? If that's what you're telling me, that that's what happened, then logic tells me that those thousands of bolts on each floor must be sheared, okay? And that takes energy, and that slows down the collapse, all right? Well, actually, these buildings came down as if there was nothing there at all, the same way that the demolished buildings come down when the resistance of all those columns and bolts have been removed so that the building can come straight down within itself. I don't understand where the energy went if it just came down at free fall speed. And that's just for the two buildings, by the way, that were struck by the jets. Building 7 comes down from what we're told is an office fire.
Fred, last one to you.
The amount of energy released by 50 tons of kerosene coming to a dead stop in an aircraft weighing 150 tons is by far in excess of what that building was designed. But just answer me this one question. Well, two questions I've got for you. One, if there was explosive planted within that building, why didn't they send those explosive offs when the aircraft hit? Why did they wait 30 minutes before detonating it?
Let me finish, because that allows
video evidence of the explosions. It would have made sense, right, to set those explosions off immediately on the impact of the aircraft. The second question.
I disagree with that.
Well, go ahead. Hear the second one first.
Sure.
Go on, Fred.
The second question I've got for you is if they were able to arrange this type of terrorist act, then why didn't they place WMDs in Iraq? That'd have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? They didn't do it, did they?
Well, of course, this happened before the war in Iraq.
Yes, it did, but when we went to war in Iraq on weapons of mass destruction, how easy would it have been the American and British government to have placed those weapons there and said, there we are, we told you so, look, here they are.
Okay, I mean, that's a fair enough point, but it's a subsequent point.
There's a lot of theorizing, and I'm happy to go to the theorizing, but before I do, let's stay within the realm of fact. I have seen the designers of the World Trade Center on film explaining that these buildings were designed because of the famous aircraft that struck the world, the Empire State Building, that they designed these buildings to withstand multiple Boeing 707 strikes. Multiple Boeing 707. Now, Fred, maybe you haven't seen that. I urge that you do. Go to YouTube. You can see the gentleman saying it himself. Okay. Now, so I disagree when you say that they were not designed to handle this.
Well,
okay? They're very tall buildings, and there's a lot of airplanes around, and it would be very silly not to do that. Now you're asking me to theorize if these buildings were wired to explode. Why wouldn't they do it right away? Well, now I'm happy to take off my factual hat and put on my theorizing hat because you've asked me to do that, and I'm happy to do that. But I want everyone to understand that I'm being asked to forget about the what and to go into the whys and the whos, okay? So let's do that right now. I'm going to theorize with you. First of all, I submit to you that it doesn't take very much thought to come up with the idea that the attacks on September the 11th were psychological operations. Do you agree that whoever it was, the plotters were, who designed this, it was designed to create a lot of psychological damage to people? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, without a doubt, yeah. I got a lot
of that. Okay, very good. So we agree. Okay, so then, if those buildings came down immediately, right, as soon as the jet hit, right, maybe nobody or hardly anyone would have even seen it.
Your point is that the aircraft striking it drew the world's attention to it, and then the very dramatic collapse of the buildings, yeah?
Once everybody was staring at it, once the world's media was focused on it, then I theorize, then the buildings can come down. And also, the planes were, if they were wired, if these buildings were wired to come down, the planes would be necessary to give people like our friend the cab driver reasonable doubt as to whether or not these buildings had been wired.
Well,
Obviously, somebody pushed a button, they blew up, and we can't be talking just about hijackers.
Yeah, I want to press on, and you're going to have to come back tomorrow night. You understand that, because you've set the switchboard alight. So I'm going to say
good.
Thanks to Fred. You stay on the line, Tom, because
very
I want
good.
You to hear Steve in Plasto. Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hi, George.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm so wound. It sounds like you've got the weakest 9/11 supporter being destroyed by Fred the cabbie.
Well, first of all, I'm not a 9/11 supporter. I report on these people.
Okay, listen.
Okay.
What I want to say to you is this. There's a lot of misinformation out there, George. There's stupid stuff on the internet that says aliens did it and rays from space and all kinds of stupid stuff.
May I respond, George?
No, well, just finish your point, Steve.
Yeah.
Sure.
What I'm trying to say is this. Forget it all. Forget the Twin Towers. What matters is Building 7. It came down at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. No plane hit it. There were minor fires on two floors. And it collapsed with a kink in the middle, exactly the same as every demolition that's ever happened. If you look at demolitions of any building, of any substantial structure, they kink in the middle where they take out the central core of the building, and then it collapses in on its own footprint. Building 7 collapsed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, never having been hit by an aeroplane.
Well,
with two minor floor fires on two floors.
Steve, Tom didn't get the chance to develop into... he's got a lot to say about Building 7, and he's got a lot to say about the Pentagon, and he's got a lot to say about the U.S. government and its military response, the fact that aircraft didn't go up to intervene with these hijacked airliners and so on. So he didn't even get into his stride. That's why he's going to have to come back tomorrow night. But Tom, I think it's also your case that Building 7 is decisive in this argument.
Well, yes, and let me respond to the caller's first point. There's even a reason, I feel bad. The cab driver just agreed with me that 9/11 was a psychological operation. It was designed to inflict psychological damage, okay? In that situation, it's very reasonable to expect that some people, in their search for answers are going to talk about aliens. I'm not surprised when a massive psychological operation causes such damage. I don't agree with them, but I understand why people can be that upset, all right, number one. Number two, he's also right when he says there's a lot of disinformation. Some of it, apparently, in my opinion, I want to be clear about that, this is my opinion, comes from your very own BBC. Okay, the BBC reported that this Building 7 collapsed a full 15 minutes or so before it actually did. Okay,
yep.
Let me repeat that. The BBC had word, or they say it was a cock-up or what have you, but somehow out of the thousands of buildings in New York City, okay, they had that one picked out and said that it collapsed before it did. Now, this must be a touchy subject for the BBC because they seem to feel bad about it, so they keep going back to this Building 7. Apparently, you guys have a program on your BBC called the Conspiracy Files or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yes.
And they did a special one-hour program on this mysterious collapse of Building 7.
They did.
And I found it to be full of what I consider to be disinformation. And I even spoke with the producer about it when they came to New York again. This program came out in February of 2007, I believe, and September of 2007, it was this last September, 2008, rather. I spoke with the producer of the program, and I confronted him with some of my questions about it. I'll give you an example, okay? There is evidence of a high-tech explosive, or I should say, a high-tech weapon being used in the demolition or the collapse, I should say, of the two World Trade Center towers and Building 7. This was put forth by a physicist from Brigham Young University. His name is Stephen Jones, and because of the massive amount of molten iron that was found in the basements of all three of these buildings. Okay, and there is some video, actually, you can look at it if you go to YouTube and ask to see thermite, okay, and World Trade Center, WTC. You'll see what appears to be molten metal pouring out of the South Tower just moments before it collapsed. Now, there's a high-tech substance called thermite that the military develops into even more specialized weapons. Nanothermite and so forth, that's capable of getting hot enough to melt steel in a matter of moments, but it produces a lot of molten iron in the meanwhile. We had pools of this stuff in the bottom of all three buildings for weeks and weeks, unexplained. Well, another thing, for those of you who are familiar with metal, you know, when you melt metal and you throw it through the air, in its liquid form, it tends to form in the form of a ball, okay? These were the old shot towers of old, where they used to melt lead at the top, and it dropped them through what looks like a chimney that hit a pool of water at the bottom. In the air, the molten metal forms a ball, okay? And when it hits the water, it gets cold. They used to collect them, and the ones that were nice and round, they'd use for shot. That's what metal does when it's melted and it's hurled through the air. Well, the physicist Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University found what he calculates to be millions and millions of tiny iron spheres in the dust from September the 11th, okay? The BBC goes to great lengths to talk about this. I was very interested to see what they would say. They interviewed a young man who collected a sample of the dust from the beginning of the Brooklyn Bridge and gave it to this physicist, who then examined it, and he found a lot of interesting things in it, but he found these tiny, tiny melted, or now hard, iron balls. This supports his theory of the substance being used. Well, the BBC goes to put forth an explanation. I hope your listeners are sitting down when I'm about to tell you is remarkable. They say perhaps this was the result of the rescue workers' cutting torches, that these little balls came flying out. Well, I've come to call this the BBC tiny flying balls theory. Okay, because let me explain, good friends. The Brooklyn Bridge, at the spot where this guy found it, is almost a mile away from ground zero. Okay? So how a welder's torch could cause a tiny ball to fly through the air almost a mile, I'll never know. But it's even better than that. These are magic balls because the dust got there immediately, within seconds. I know I was almost killed by it, okay? And the rescue workers did not show up for quite some time later. Okay, so why is it that the BBC feels so compelled to give us a red herring like that on a very, very serious piece of evidence about what happened? It's
well, let me bring in another caller, Tom. Here's Eddie in Guildford. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hello, George. I think it might be valuable, instead of getting bogged down with the detail, to ask the crime of 9/11, who benefits? And I'd like to answer that, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Four American oil companies now legally own all the Iraqi oil. That's the world's largest, cheapest supply of oil. And they're now selling it in the American dollar instead of the euro, as Saddam used to do. The Americans are building an oil and gas pipeline across Afghanistan now. They've done a deal with Uzbekistan for the oil and gas. The Americans would not have been able to invade Iraq or Afghanistan if it wasn't for 9/11. So I would say that whoever committed the crime of 9/11, the Americans now have changed the world supply of oil and gas very much in their favour. So they're the ones who have benefited from the crime.
Well, on that, I think we can all agree. And just before I come back to Tom, let's take some more messages. Well, just before I bring Tom Keeley in again, I'm going to read some of the messages, a large number of them coming in. Pete in Manchester says this: I'm studying for a construction degree, and at the moment we are looking at the structural collapse of the Trade Center towers. My lecturers agree that the towers would have collapsed due to the heat and failure of the steel connections, so your guest is mistaken. However, we looked at the other buildings, especially Building 7, and all my lecturers have said there is no way it could have collapsed due to the small fire in it. My lecturers believe Building 7 was a controlled demolition. Nick in Belfast says this conspiracy yank is nuts. The buildings were hit by large planes flown by fanatical terrorists at high speed. No wonder they came down. Natasha in SE 19 in London says, your guest is just rehashing theories from Alex Jones's Terror Storm DVD, although it is possible that the 9/11 saboteurs were encouraged by CIA agent provocateurs. And an unnamed texter says, he says never in history has a building collapsed or since. However, never in history has a catastrophe like this happened or since. And James says, George, you should be ashamed of yourself for pandering to the conspiracy theory nuts with this drivel. Are you aware that most of the Islamic world believes no Jews died on 9/11 because they received advance warning? Why don't you expose that kind of sick thinking instead of jumping on the conspiracy bandwagon to help your Muslim pals? James is obviously not a regular listener, or he would have heard me attacking exactly that and many other conspiracy theories over the last few years here on TalkSport. It is an anti-Semitic slur to say that no Jews were killed on 9/11. Many were. And just because some conspiracy theories are nuts doesn't mean that all conspiracy theories are nuts. And Tom Keeley's a respected journalist and broadcaster. He's definitely not nuts, as you'll discover in the course of this discussion and carrying on in tomorrow night. I don't myself accept many of the points that he's made, but I'll tell you later, probably tomorrow, just exactly the points on which he has persuaded me that all is not as it seems. Inside job, why was Building 7 reported as collapsed 20 minutes or so before its actual collapse? Why would Bush not testify under oath and without Big Dick? I presume that's Dick Cheney. Ryan from Luton, really glad you're discussing this. Brilliant. David says, no, that's on the Ian Tomlinson story. Let's go back to Tom. Tom, go ahead with what you've heard so far. What's your response?
Well, I think it's quite unfortunate. I explained several times, and I'll do it again. It's open to anyone. Go to YouTube and query this stuff, okay? You can see on videotape the people who designed the World Trade Center explaining that they were designed to withstand multiple strikes of a 707. And I'm being called nuts by someone who totally dismisses what I said, presumably either has never gone to the trouble of what I just asked them to do, or if they did, maybe they're the ones who are nuts because they don't believe what they see. Okay, a 707 is about the same size and could actually travel faster than the jet that hit the World Trade Center. Okay, so it's relatively speaking the same kind of impact and so forth. Okay, so take a look at what the designers did. All right, when they built this. In any case.
Building seven. Building seven. You seem to be on slightly stronger ground, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, I can tell you, George. Nature is if the top of the World Trade Centers were sheared off as they were, okay, somehow, okay. Nature is not going to send all that weight through the path of most resistance, okay? It's going to topple over to the side. It's going to fall down. You can see on YouTube controlled demolitions that failed, okay, where the bottom was broken but the top wasn't. The building comes down and it stops. It sits. You can see when an earthquake has knocked over a building. It doesn't completely shatter. It falls over on its side, and it's kind of looking like it's intact. Of course, it's, the structural integrity is gone. It's laying down like that. All these people must consider, how does a building with all that cold steel that held it up for so long suddenly come down at free fall speed, or very, very close to free fall speed? It's a physical impossibility. Energy must be expended, shearing off each floor as it comes down. Okay, it'll take longer. And I believe it wouldn't even make it all the way to the bottom. But then again, I'm not an engineer. I listen to almost 700 of them now who say this needs to be scientifically investigated.
Well, I'll tell you tomorrow what my questions are to you, but let me give you two people who are anxiously keen to ask you a question. Here's Michael in East Dulwich. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You've got the floor.
Hello. Yes, I mean, I'm thoroughly intrigued by the idea of this commission, the 9/11 commission report. Thomas H. Keene and an L. H. Hamilton, one of them I know is a Republican and the other one's a Democrat.
Right.
But one of my family members were actually killed in the Twin Towers. One of them worked in the South Tower in the Oppenheimer Fund floor. It was terrible that he ended up. He'd gone downstairs to the Colortech Kodak imaging center, which turned out to be his downfall. Frankly, he was crushed to death.
Well, Tom, tell us about the commission.
Well, I believe now that even some of the commissioners feel like they were not allowed to do their job. I know of at least one commissioner, I believe, who quit because of that reason. The commission was controlled, in fact, by a White House attorney, okay, who controlled the information and where they were allowed to go. The report had to be a unanimous report. So if one person dissented, that piece of information wouldn't be put into the report, okay? And frankly, I've got a lot of questions myself that the report leaves unanswered, okay? We didn't even start to talk about the Pentagon yet.
No, okay? We're going to. There's no time to tonight, and that's why I'm inviting you back tomorrow night. Thanks, Michael in East Dulwich. Thanks, Guy in Stoke-on-Trent. Sorry I couldn't get to you. And thanks above all to Tom Keeley, and thanks for coming back tomorrow night to continue this discussion.